Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Saul is getting ready to enter into this office ordained by God, and he's going to be anointed by the Spirit of God to equip him to do what God had called him to do. And so for him to receive this anointing, and I don't want to say a word and just assume everybody understands it. When you talk about the anointing of the Holy Spirit, or even being a Christian, which means anointed one, what that means, because some of you may be new believers and that may be a new term for you, anointed. What does that mean, anointed? Well, in the Old Testament, the anointing was symbolized by oil that was poured over the head of the one that was anointed. But in the Old Testament, it was a mere symbol. It was a tangible example or presentation of the Holy Spirit coming on us, which happened through the gift of the Holy Spirit since the day of Pentecost. But the anointing of the Holy Spirit is just God rubbing off you on you an ability you didn't have before. When you're anointed by God's Spirit, you're empowered, you're endowed, you're blessed. You are given the ability to do something that you could not have done without that anointing or without that endowment or that power. So when you talk about the anointing, that's the Holy Spirit rubbing off on us and giving us an ability that we did not have before His Spirit equipped us. Many people, only look at the anointing in one facet, one face, but there are many facets to the anointing. As a matter of fact, Isaiah 11 verse 2 lists seven different facets, seven faces of the anointing. So knowledge, wisdom, understanding. You know, there's sometimes we heard from the Lord and we didn't act, and then we came back and said, man, something told me not to go that way. Something told me not to do that. Something told me I should have looked at that differently. Have you ever said something told me and you wish you'd done what something told you? Sure you have. Did you know that was an anointing of the Holy Spirit trying to lead you and trying to guide you? So the anointing can equip us mentally, physically, spiritually to do the will of God. And so Samuel here, the prophet of God, getting ready to anoint Saul to be king, knew that Saul couldn't be effective in this role that God had given him if he didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit. He needed the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. Listen, we can't do anything in the name of Jesus that's going to get any results if we don't do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing, Isaiah 11 or 10:27 teaches. It is the anointing that removes burdens and destroys yokes. It's not our intelligence. It's not our ability to use big words and only we in the dictionary understand. No, on any message, on any sermon, on any worship service, it is the anointing that removes burdens and destroys yokes. Man does not have that ability. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Hallelujah. So here, Saul is to be anointed with the Holy Spirit, which is going to give him the power he needs to do what God has called him to do. But notice there were two things that happened here in verses 5 and 6. I'm setting you up for something, so just stay with me, all right? In verses 5 and 6, he says, you're going to meet this company of prophets coming down from the house of God. A prophet is one that speaks God's word. He expounds on God's word. That is the truest and purest meaning of a prophet, to declare the word of God. When we speak God's word, we prophesy. Prophecy is not necessarily you looking at somebody, grabbing their hands and saying, I see a man in your future. And you look back and say, is he a good-looking man? Yes. Is he saved? Yes. Is he rich? No. I bind that devil in the name of Jesus. I'm just kidding. But sadly, there are many that only see prophecy as someone looking into their future and telling you what they see. But true biblical prophecy, and I'm not saying God can't give a word of knowledge, and I'm not saying God doesn't give a word of direction. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying that this word is the word of God. And when it is spoken, that is prophesying. That is to declare his word. That's prophecy. So Saul would hear the word of God coming forward from these prophets. And notice, he says, I want you to prophesy with them. The word that you're hearing, I want you to say that word. I want you to declare that word. Declare that word that you've been given. In John 17, Jesus is praying the longest recorded prayer in the Bible. And he's praying this prayer right before he would be taken into custody, right before his betrayal. Perhaps, you know, four days or so before the crucifixion. And he's praying this prayer. It's a long, lengthy prayer. And in verse 20, he makes the prayer open-ended and says to the Father that not only was he praying for his 12 disciples, but that he was praying for every believer that would ever receive his word. That means that prayer was prayed for you. That prayer was prayed for me. And in that prayer in John 17, Jesus said this to the Father. He said, I have given them thy word. I have given them thy word. And if we're going to be what God has called us to be, if we're going to walk in this office, if we're going to walk in this position in life, if we're going to walk in this endowment that God has called us to walk in, it begins with us receiving his word. So Jesus said, I have given them thy word. And here in 1 Samuel, where God is equipping Saul to be king, the first thing that he does is he says, now, when you hear the word, I want you to say the word. I want you to prophesy the word. When the prophet speaks, I want you to repeat what he said. Don't just hear that word, declare that word. And notice what he said would happen as the word was declared. In verse 6, he said, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou, read it with me, and thou shalt prophesy with them and shalt be turned into another man. If you want your life to change, I'm telling you, you get your mouth in line with this word and watch what the Holy Spirit will do, because there is nothing more powerful than for a born-again believer to declare the word of God in the authority of the name of Jesus. There is something supernatural that happens in our lives when we begin to hear what he said, declare what he said, and the Holy Spirit begins to move on what he said. That's operating in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But notice here, this endowment, this power for Saul's life came through hearing the word and the Holy Spirit endorsing that word with his anointing and with his blessing. You know, We probably spent the better part of our life saying things that other people said about us, or saying things that we heard that had no power. You know, many of us grew up hearing negative words over our lives. You'll never be anything. You'll never make it. That'll never work. And when we've heard those words of fear and doubt and unbelief and limitation to the point that it has captivated our mind and developed strongholds where we can't see life any better. We can't see anything changing. And that's why we need the word of God. We need his report spoken over our lives so that we can see who he made us to be through the lens of his word, not through the eyes of man. Hallelujah. Now, let's do this. Come over to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. And let me show you what happened. You think, man, Saul's life has changed for sure. God has spoken his report. He took this donkey chaser and made him a king. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You know what God took you from, or what he is taking you from, and what he's turning you into be. Hallelujah. And here he set up, man, as king of Israel. And this change that came into his life came as a result of hearing his word and the Holy Spirit just anointing him. And so the Bible says he was turned into another man. He was completely changed. So watch this in 1 Samuel 15, verse 1. 1 Samuel 15, verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people. We read that five chapters earlier. Over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. What God is doing here is he's saying, hey, there was a time when this nation of people did our people wrong, and there was an evil done, and now I'm going to vindicate my people, and there will be a recompense. And so the word came to Saul on what to do. Now let me set this up in a way that is that you can apply to your life, because there's no sense in hearing sermons you can't apply. If you can't relate to the word you're hearing, then there's no relationship with the word of God. This word is relevant because when you can see yourself in Saul's position, then it changes things. So five chapters earlier, he gets this call that, hey, you've been chosen, and I'm going to anoint you to be the king of Israel. And even though you've only known chasing donkeys, I'm about to put you on the throne. Come on, somebody. And what changed in his life? What brought him to this place? Hearing the word of God and the Holy Spirit anointing him, he was turned into another man. There was a change that happened in his life. Listen, I'm sure all of you can testify of a time when your life changed. You may not even wanted change or expected change, but something happened. You found yourself hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You heard the word of God, and then it resonated in you. And next thing you know, you're calling out on the Lord, and then all of a sudden, you don't see things the way you used to see. You don't feel the way you used to feel. Something changes in your inner man. He takes away the taste that you used to have for things and gives you a new appetite, and man, you change. Listen, whether that happened to you 5 chapters ago, 5 years ago, 5 weeks ago, or 5 minutes ago, you have to know that your continuing in that breakthrough anointing is going to require that you remain sensitive to the word of God and sensitive to the Holy Spirit, not point back to that event in your life like so many people do. They point back to an event in their life when they were saved, when they were baptized, but there was no growth beyond that event, because after that event, you stop being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and the word of God. And so here's Samuel, and he says, listen, you remember how you were anointed to take this position? And he gives him this backstory. And watch what he says here in verse number 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. It grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Because here's this man, and God says, I repent that I even made him king, because he won't listen to me anymore. He won't respond to my word. Verse 12, when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. So Samuel's, you know, trying to find Saul. Verse 13, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of God. He hadn't done none of the such. He sounds deep. He's got the right language, but there's no truth to what he said, because if I'd read all those previous verses, he did not do what God told him to do. God told him that after you win this war, I want there to be a great sacrifice. I want you to exterminate everything. Get rid of all the spoil. Don't bring anything back. Don't say, well, that's a nice coat. I think I'll put that in my closet. No, he said, leave it all there. And yet, that's not what Saul did. Verse 14, Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? He's saying, if you did what God told you to do, what are you doing with them sheep? Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. We did this for Jesus. Be like, you know, why didn't you rob the bank? I wanted to get some money for the church. So they're getting deep with their disobedience, saying, we did this for the Lord. No, you didn't do that for the Lord because you disobeyed the Lord doing it. I'm going to tell you what ended up happening. As Samuel went on to say in that same chapter, verse 26, Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. That man lost his anointing. In the very beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, but nothing happened. Verse 3 says, and God said, let there be light. Verse 4, there was light. The Holy Spirit's present in our life, but he only endorses God's will. He only endorses God's word. So the minute we compromise the conviction of God's word, the minute we move off of God's word, the Holy Spirit becomes just resident, but he's no longer president. He'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. But he won't anoint everything you choose to do. In other words, maybe you've been living your life and you're trying to do this word thing, and you're living by faith and you're getting in the word, and you may not understand a lot of things. But you're trying to get this thing down, and man, all of a sudden now the Lord's giving you a favor, and his blessing is on your life. The enemy will trick you into believing that that same anointing will operate even if you get away from his word, when it won't be there. It's not that God's not there, it's that he won't anoint an act that is contrary to his word. And what would cause us to ever not step out in faith and to do what the word of God has called us to do? The same thing that prevented the children of Israel from entering the land of promise, and we've talked about that for several weeks now, fear of man. So watch this here in 2 Timothy, and I want to go to the first chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you're there to say amen. Now there's a familiar verse here, but we want to go and read it all. And I'm in 1 Timothy. I wonder why that verse wasn't there. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 1, watch this. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Declare that out loud. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. But what has he given us? Power, love, and a sound mind. Now, when you claim that verse, don't forget verse 8, because this is the reason verse 7 exists. Verse 8, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Paul's saying to Timothy, man, don't be ashamed of the Lord, and don't be ashamed of me. I have taught you, I have ministered to you. Don't be ashamed of me, don't be ashamed of the Lord, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So if when you put 2 Timothy 1 and 7 together, he's saying, hey, God's not giving you the spirit of fear. And since he's not giving you the spirit of fear, verse 8, don't be ashamed of your testimony. You know, there are people in your life that need Jesus, that need salvation, that need deliverance, but it's the fear of man that will prevent you from sharing the love of Jesus with that person. It's the fear of man that will prevent you from inviting them to church because you don't want anybody to say, what church? Word of God. Oh, you go out there? See, you're afraid of what somebody might say to you if they found out that you attended Word of God, or if you said the name of Jesus publicly. There are a lot of people that are in bondage and they're not using their lives to advance the kingdom of God out of fear of what man will say. Church, if we're to win this city, if we're to advance the kingdom of God, we can't have a fear about preaching Jesus. We can't have a fear about sharing our faith and our testimony in the Lord. If the Lord made you whole, let the world know the Lord made me whole. If Jesus changed your life, let the world know that Jesus changed your life. Paul said it best in Romans 1:16. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. So therefore, I'm not going to be ashamed to declare the gospel, because if one person believes it, that's God's power to their salvation. We let the world drive us in some kind of isolation where we won't get out and present the love of God and the truth of God and the grace of God out of fear of what folk are going to say about us. Whatever God has called you to do, He will equip you to do it. But if you don't have the courage to overcome your fear of man, you're jeopardizing that anointing that could give you breakthrough ability in that situation. But watch Luke 6. You'll be shocked to find out this is in the Bible. Watch this. Luke 6. I want to see it. I want to look at it in verse 26. Luke 6, verse 26. You there? Okay, let's read it out loud together. Ready? Read. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. Whoa, stop. Wait. Hold the press. Let's read that part again. I know we didn't read that right. Read it again. Ready? Read. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. Jesus saying, if everybody has something good to say about you, something must be wrong. Now, it's not like we're out there just trying to get people to dislike us. But if you're positioned in God's word, if you're positioned in the love of Jesus Christ that knows no color, that knows no race, that knows no ethnicity, if you know the love of God and the truth of God uncompromisingly, then those that reject that idea are going to reject you. You just stay with me. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. He said, you know, you're concerned because somebody doesn't like you. He says, woe unto you if everybody does. So Jesus is letting me know, let's go to John 17. He's letting me know that if I'm advancing the kingdom, if I'm walking in love and truth, I'm not going to be liked by anybody that opposes that truth or rejects that kind of love. So if you're going to walk out of these doors and be worried about what folks say, God can't anoint you to advance the gospel because you're in fear of man. You're afraid of the people God wants you to deliver. How can you deliver people when you're in bondage to people? You can't deliver anybody that you're in bondage to. If you're in bondage to a person, you can't preach to them. You can't help them. If I was in bondage to you, I couldn't be effective. Why? I would worry about everything I'm saying. Oh, I don't want to offend anybody. Oh, I hope they love my sermon. Oh, I don't want to get put out. I don't want to lose my job. I love being pastor here. If I'm in bondage to you, I'm only thinking about what you want to hear, and I won't get up here and just say the truth. Even if folk get up and walk out, you don't need a man that's in bondage to you. He can't liberate you, and you can't liberate people that you're in bondage to. There are people in your life right now, God wants to use you to get Jesus to them. He wants to use you to get the love of God to them, but you're so afraid of them, He can't use you. It's going to take courage to overcome that fear that, so what if I'm rejected? And the enemy wants you to be afraid and intimidated by people so you don't live out your faith. And now the anointing that will come on your life to bring breakthrough in that individual's life is not present because you're in bondage to them. If you want to liberate, you got to be liberated. Now watch this here in John 17. Verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus said, my words put them in a position where the world hates them. If I'm going to be light, then darkness is not going to like me. If I'm going to be love, then hate is not going to like me. If I'm going to advance the kingdom, then the world is not going to like me. But I got to get over that. This is not a popularity contest. But I'm not going to live for anybody to hate me. It's not like I want to go out and just make people hate me. It's just that we need to stand for something so that those that are opposed to that, we will find out, and they will find out what it is we stand for by that positioning. There are some of you that won't speak faith around your family. You won't speak the word of God over your kinfolk. You won't share the love of Jesus with coworkers because you don't want to get now that you're actually a Christian. There'll always be a divide between light and darkness. There'll always be a divide between love and hate. There'll always be a divide between truth and deception. There'll always be a divide between justice and oppression. There will always be a divide between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. But we can't advance God's kingdom and expect the culture of this world to embrace what God has given us to liberate people. If you find yourself being hated, let it be for righteousness and for your position in the Word. If you find yourself being loved, let it be because of the convictions that you hold in your heart.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.